You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Praise God. Yeah. Oh, bless your name, Father. Praise your name. Now, you may be seated and open your Bibles to two passages of Scripture. And in about 45 minutes, we'll be walking out of here. But I have, maybe we will. That's the plan anyway. Go to Romans chapter number 12 and Colossians chapter number 1. And I do absolutely give honor to your pastor. It's a privilege to call him my friend and his wonderful wife, who is a dynamo in and of herself. I tell you, know you're blessed when God give you two good preachers. Some churches are just blessed to have one, but when you got two, that shows you how much God's favor is on your life. And I'm humbled to be here, pastors. I really am. And as he said, I'm glad to have my wife with me. And my daughter, I thought, was coming until she said, "I ain't coming to hear you preach." She wanted to go home, so she bailed out on us. Amen. And we're going to see what the Lord wants to say. Very familiar passage of Scripture in Romans 12 and 2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." By the renewing. The renewing, the renewing, the constant renewing of your mind. Why does your mind need to be renewed? That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That if I don't renew my mind, I will never discern the perfect will of God. In other words, to get to the perfect will of God, my mind has to take me there. If my mind doesn't go there, I can't get there. And is there anybody in this room want the perfect will of God? Now go to Colossians chapter number 1, because now let me give you the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is found in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 26. Colossians 1, 26, if you found it, say, "I found it." The mystery, not a mystery, the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, meaning the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Now go back to Romans chapter number 8 and let me give more validity to the fact that this is the perfect will of God. Romans chapter number 8, let's look at verse number 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, meaning his son, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. Oh, wow. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject, from glory to glory. And we'll read that in just a minute in 2 Corinthians. Now, I think you've matured to the point where you understand that the anointing of God is not determined by speed, spit, screaming, and a B3 organ. That everything spectacular ain't supernatural. And everything supernatural ain't that spectacular. Because what I came to share with you this morning, I don't necessarily know that I will ever raise my voice above this. And I am known for screaming. But there's something I got to get to you, people of God, because, you know, I'm a young man, but I've been preaching. I'll be coming up on 25 years next year. And not just preaching 25 years, but I've been preaching a lot, which means I've had the opportunity to not just preach 52 weeks or 52 sermons a year, but traveling all over this country and around the world. Thank you, sir. I have discovered that if we're not careful, we would have had all this church and missed the purpose for the church. In the midst of all that we do, we have to come to a point of maturity where we arrive at a destination. That you and I in here, the reason most of us have so many issues with our life is because your preoccupation is with your life. Which means we live in such a way where everything is about our bills and, you know, and payments and our kids and cars and houses and spouses and all of that, when none of that is supposed to be the focus of your life. Oh, I'm in the Bible. Jesus said it this way. He says, take no thought for what you are to put on. Why? He says, because is not life more than clothing? Is not life more than food? In other words, there's a bigger picture here that you're missing. He says, if you will seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added to you. He says, oh, all of that stuff will be added. But don't make that your focus. Well, what should be my focus? Every day you get out of the bed, you ought to have one mission. To be more like Christ than you were yesterday. Yeah, I knew it wasn't going to be no shouting on that. Because that's not the goal. That's not the plan. We wear it on our wrists. We got bumper stickers about it. It's very cliche, but ain't nobody trying to be like Jesus. And that ain't nobody's focus. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, Lord, make me more like you. And I came to suggest to you that if that is not your purpose, and that is not the goal for your life, then let me ask you this. For what purpose were you saved then? Was it to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, the Bible says that can't be enough, because you wasn't just born again to be justified. See, that's where the church has stopped. We've stopped at just being justified, just saved, just justified, just forgiven, just born again. But no, Paul said there's a step beyond justification. He'd say we must move from justified to glorified. Yeah. Which means, he said, you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which means God's will for you is not just conversion, but transformation. There is a difference between conversion and transformation. To be converted means to have your sins forgiven. It means to be born again. It means to have a righteousness status where you are on your way to heaven. That's conversion. That's conversion. And that's where the church stops. But transformation is for the purpose of pulling out of you what conversion put in you. Which means you are saved for something. That you were born again to become something. That in you now is the glory of God. And the mystery that God hid from all the ages was how to get my glory back in man. Now you know the story, but let me take a minute and set it up for you. When God created Adam, he created him with glory in him. Now glory ain't deep. I don't want you to start looking for clouds and spooky stuff. It is simply the presence of God. It is the nature of God. It's what God is. God doesn't have glory. He is glory. Matter of fact, glory is not even something that is inherent in God. It's rather a descriptive term of what he is, which means whenever God manifests himself, anything he did to manifest himself is called glory. Yeah, the angels came up with that, you know. When God manifests himself, glory is the definition of any manifestation that is intrinsically God-like. Yeah, that's glory. And so now, he made Adam with glory. He made him with his image after his likeness. When Adam sinned, he died, which means he lost that glory. Jesus comes back on the scene to give us back the glory that we had before the foundation of the world. Which means Jesus then is not just a savior, but rather the example of what you and I were supposed to be like. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, he comes on the scene to show you your potential. Which means Jesus comes on the scene, the last Adam, to show us what the first Adam had in authority and power. But yet when he committed high treason, he lost, therefore bankrupting whole humanity of the ability to have God's power and glory in them. Jesus died to get it back in you. And when he rose from the dead, he gave you the ability to be what is called born again. Now, let me ask a question. It's not a trick question, and it ain't rhetorical. I want to see your hand. How many of you in here been born again? It's not a trick question. Huh? You've been born again. You know you're born again. They call it saved. Yeah, you've been born again. Been born again. Now, let me ask you this. Okay, now, then, if you've been born again, what are you? No. That's what happened to you. What are you? In other words, you know, a horse is born a horse. A cow is born a cow. A dog is born a dog. Why? Because whatever seed produced you, you bear its kind. So now what happened to you when you got born again? Do you know what you were born of? Which means you mean to tell me you were born again of God? Is that what you're telling me? Are you sure? You're telling me that you were born again out of the seed of God? Are you sure? Well, now, let me ask you another question. Then what's wrong with you? Now, don't get mad at me. I ain't preaching this like I have arrived at it, baby. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have the right to judge you, but rather I'm trying to provoke you to think that if you have indeed been born again of God, then why don't we act like God? What happened? When the frog got born, he hopped. When the dog got born, it barked. When the bird got born, flies. And when you got born, didn't seem like much change. Trying to get you to see something this morning. Because you were just glad to be on your way to heaven. It didn't matter if you kept on catching hell. Just glad to be on your way to heaven. Which means the apex for your Christian experience, y'all, cannot be wrapped up in a 2-hour church service on Sunday morning. You are sitting on dynamite. And this is what God has called me to preach for this next season. And many churches ain't even interested in this. They don't even want to talk about this. They don't want to get into nothing like that. They got problems. They got issues. When we don't understand that if you have been born again, you were born again so that God could have another son. That the hope, according to Romans chapter number 8, come on, look at it again, look at it again. Look at verse number 29. Could you put it up on the screen? Romans 8, 29, just back up one verse. I want you to look up here at it. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, talking about us, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, his son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Which means what God wanted out of you, what, no church members? God wanted children. And he says, my hope of Calvary was that when my son went to Calvary, he would be the only one. Oh, but when he got out of the grave, he would transfer from being the only one to the first one. Woo! Okay, go. Y'all gonna make me work for it. Okay, go to John. I got to find this because it just came to me. Go to John chapter number 12. Yeah, there it is. Where he guides, he provides. He'll show you. John 12. Go to John 12. And if you would, sir or ma'am, whoever's back there, throw John chapter number 12, verse number 23 on the screen. John 12, 23 on the screen. And we're going to go down to just verse number 24. It says, and Jesus answered, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Wow. Now, when Jesus talks about the hour has come. In other words, Jesus says, everything that I came to the planet for has been crescendoing up to this moment. He said, it's taken me 33 years to get here, but I'm finally here. The hour that I must be glorified has come. Okay, next verse. Well, what is it? What are you talking about, Jesus? For truly I say unto you, I'm sorry, y'all. Truly I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much. Come on now, you told me you were born again, right? Jesus says, this is why I came. He says, while I'm on the earth, I am the only begotten Son of God. I am the only one authorized by heaven to function in heaven's authority, to function in heaven's power, to function in heaven's dominion, heaven's wisdom. He says, I'm the only one that has been anointed. I am the only one that the Spirit of the Lord is in me. He ain't just on me. He came up on Moses. He came up on Elijah. No. He said, but John said we would know the Messiah because upon whom the Spirit of the Lord descended and remained, he is the Christ. And when the Holy Spirit came up on Jesus, it didn't just come on him. It was in him. He housed the very nature of God. Therefore, if anyone wanted to have any manifestation of the power of God on earth, you had to get to Jesus. Oh, yes, they came by the multitudes to Jesus. If you wanted the healing, you had to get to Jesus. If you wanted the mind of God, you had to get to Jesus. If you wanted revelation, you had to get to Jesus. If you wanted the miraculous to happen, you had to get to Jesus. Why? Because he was the only Son of God. But he said, I didn't come to be the only one. He says, I came to be the seed. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Come on, some of you, I know this, you think you're in the city, but some of you from the country and you still country. Come on. Some of you done planted a seed before. You do realize that inside of an acorn is the potential of a forest. But as long as you got that little acorn, that's all it is. It's just an acorn, but it's got supernatural ability in it to reproduce itself, which means its destiny ain't to be an acorn. Its destiny is to be an oak tree. But in order for its destiny, which is in it, to be released, you have to put it in the ground. You have to bury it. And when you bury it, then it gives it the ability to release the life that's in it, and it begins to multiply what it is. Jesus said, this is what I came to do. And might I parenthetically insert this? Had the princes of this world known, they wouldn't have crucified him. Because the last thing you want to do to a seed is put it in the ground. And when they put him in the ground, he rose with the ability where he said the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last Adam is a quickening spirit, which means he says, not only do I have the power of God resident in me, but now that I have died, paid the penalty for sin, and rose again, whosoever will come to me, I will give him the ability to become just like me. And when they killed Jesus, and when they buried him, and when he rose again, Satan said, what have we done? Because we ain't been able to do nothing with one of him. How in the world then are we going to deal with two of him and three of him? Come on, you're a little slow, but you're getting it. And four of him and five of him and 20,000 of him. And now there's supposed to be 7 billion people on the planet and 1.5 billion proclaimed to be Christians. If we all had this revelation, there wouldn't be enough devils on this planet to stop us from doing what God called us to do if we multiplied in the glory of God. But what we're finding out is that those of us that have been born again, that the tree don't look nothing like the acorn. Because we haven't been transformed. We've been converted, but not transformed. Which means a transformation, the Greek word metamorphos, metamorphosis, is to pull out of you what's in you. So the perfect example of a true transformation is either a tadpole to a frog or a caterpillar to a butterfly. Now it's interesting to note that a caterpillar and a butterfly are not two different insects, but rather the same insect in two forms. Look at somebody, say, wake up, little caterpillar, wake up. Come on, ain't no butterfly quite yet, but I ain't no caterpillar either now. Listen to me, life community, listen to me, because you when the caterpillar is born, it is born a worm. And when you look at it from the outside, it's just this little brown little worm. But in the worm are wings, antennas, colors, the ability to fly is in the worm. It's in there, which means it might crawl its whole life, but its destiny is to fly. And what transformation is designed to do is to pull out of it what is in it so that it reaches its destiny or the perfect will of God for it. Put your hand on your head. Say, come on, put your hand on your head. Lay your hand on your head. Say, Lord, help my head now. All right, there you go. And so now watch this. The worm has wings in it. But in order for it to get out of it what's in it, it's got to transform. And when it goes through complete maturation, because that's all a transformation is, it's just growing up. It's just developing. When it comes into a complete end and transformation of it, now we see the full potential of the worm. and it looks nothing like it did. Why? Because the worm is a butterfly in an immature state. Look at your neighbor and say, now I understand what's wrong with you. No, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. See, that's all depression is. It's just you in an immature state. That's all lust is. That's all fornication is. That's all sin is. That's kids. And God says you were not born to be a worm. Now let me break it down to you. In other words, I didn't save you so that you could keep being yourself. How you gonna get born again and still be you? He say, don't you realize that's why you needed to be born again? Because you was you? That's what you're trying to get delivered from, was yourself. And he say, when you were born again, just like I put the butterfly in the worm, I put myself in you. Boy, I need half a church. Somebody shout, it's in me, it's in me. He's in me, he's in me right now. He's in me. Christ is in me. No, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Close your eyes, lay your hand on your head and say it. Say, Jesus is in me, Jesus is in me. Jesus is in me. Jesus. Jesus is in me. That's why your Bible say greater is he. Not it, baby. Greater is he that is in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. God says when you got born again, thank God for your music and your songs and your preaching and your shouting. But he said, I want to see none of that. I want to see myself. Oh, when I look at you, I want to see myself coming out of you. But yet we have a whole generation of saints that identify more with their carnality. That they get saved and you don't ever get to see them metamorphose into Jesus. Matter of fact, to the degree that some folks are confused about some of you all's salvation right now. Because they're saying, I know you're saved, but you still. In the whole body of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be judgmental or critical, but I have to speak the truth. But the whole body of Christ has just turned into one big nursery. All we got is a bunch of worms just crawling around, still immature, still dealing with sin, still dealing with the flesh, still got to be counseled out of certain situations and stuff like that. And I'm a pastor and I have a heart for people, but I'm not a good counselor. I don't understand it. I refuse to let my church turn me into Dr. Phil. I ain't Oprah. I ain't Dr. Phil. I like Jesus' style of counseling. When the woman got caught in adultery, he said, where are your condemners? She said, I don't see them. He said, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's me. We ain't even got to meet for that. Just call me on the phone. All I got to do is tell you, admit it, quit it, and forget it, and get on with it. That's all you got to do. We ain't got time to be sitting up talking about what your mama did or what your daddy didn't do or you was raised without this or that. You didn't do what you did because of what your mama didn't do. You did what you did because you wanted to do it. And got nothing to do with your past. It's got to do with what you are right now. whole lot of people went through what you went through and didn't do what you did. And so we got a generation of worms, y'all. We're just immature. No real power, no real weight of glory. The average church now these days, miracles have moved off the scene. We done moved into the age of the cute pastor. Pastor's cute now. They work out now, and they come out, and they want to show you with their little tight shirts on how they've been working out. Let me tell you something. I don't care if my pastor has got muscles or he look like the Michelin man or she look like the Michelin. I don't care nothing about that. When you open up your mouth, do you have power? Oh, that's all I care about. If you got the anointing of God on your life. And we got these worms that you can't look at us and see Jesus. And Jesus says, he says, I know, I don't doubt that you're saved because you told me you were. You told me you were saved. Now, so I don't doubt that. But Jesus is saying, don't you realize I'm in you? Come on now. You sing about it. You shout about it. You read the Bible. And he says that I am in you. When you get born again, I put my full nature in you. But you determine how much comes out. And let me give you an analogy because this is perfect.
This is perfect. I got to show it to you. Because when he started telling me this,
I was like, now, God, I realize this revelation, but I ain't ever walked on water. He said, you ought to put yet beside that. You the one I'm preaching to right there, yeah. He said, yet. But he said, walking on water is in you. Y'all, I'm telling you, somebody gonna leave here with this so deep in your spirit that those of you that got swimming pools in your backyard, you're gonna start making test runs. You just if you go down, you just go down. But I got to see what I'm working with. Which means if Jesus did it, I have the potential to become it. And I remember I was struggling with the Lord. I was like, Lord, he said, son, you don't understand. When you got saved, I took who I was and I poured myself in you. Ooh, don't you see that? And watch this. He said, down to the last drop. He said, I didn't leave nothing back. I gave you my same authority. I gave you my same power. You got my same anointing. I gave you my wisdom. My peace I give unto you. My joy. God. He said, I put my stuff in you. I put my stuff in you. I say, but Lord, how come your stuff in me don't work like your stuff in you? And it changed my life. He said, it's not that you ain't got it in you. He said, Isaac, the problem is this. I was born with it. You were born again with it. He said, so I was never a sinner. And I was never carnal. He says, I was born that way. You were born again that way. And it's not that you ain't got it in you. He said, he said, your mind won't let it out. Oh, God.
He said, oh, it's in there, but your mind has put a cap on it. Come on, you've been wanting to do this your whole life. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, you know what your problem is. Tell him, say, you know what your problem is. Tell him, say, you just screwed on too tight. That's your problem. You just screwed on extremely too tight. You and I, right now, at this very moment, sits in this building just like this. With God locked inside. Because your mind determines how much of Him gets out. And I came here this morning for the next 5 minutes to blow your mind. Somebody jump up on your feet and shout, Lord, blow my mind. Get the limits off, get the doubt off, get the fear off. I'm ready to release the glory of God that's down on you. Hey! Be seated and give me 4 minutes. He said, Isaac, you determine the level of manifestation. My mind is in you. Which means you ain't never in a situation you don't know what to do. You got the wisdom of God in you. He says, you have my strength. And strength comes two ways. There's physical strength and then there's mental strength. You call mental strength confidence. Now you have to watch certain saints, because certain saints won't let you have the God kind of confidence. Because they don't know the difference between confidence and arrogance. Confidence is you showing up, finding the place where it's written in the book, and saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And He hath anointed me to preach to God. I know who I am. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you got to say. I've got to say it with my own mouth. I am anointed. God Almighty. Oh, I can do it. I know what He's called me to do. And I ain't backing up because you insecure and you don't like it. You might not like it, but you're going to have to live with it, baby. Because I'm going to do what God called me to do. Confident. It's all in there. Joy is in there. Peace. Watch this. Peace that which means you don't even know why you got it. Why? It's got you. I ain't talking about peace that you got. I'm talking about peace that's got you. That when you want to have a fit, you can't. Anybody been there when you wanted to fall out? Something just came over you and you start singing, I got a feeling. Everything's gonna be all right. I'm talking faith that'll move mountains. The power to open your mouth and speak to stuff. It's all in there, but you know, depending on how tight you screwed up, that's the way some of you do. You're just dripping. And when you're dripping, there ain't no consistency to your walk. See, sometimes you feel like a nut, and for some of you, that's as much faith as you got. That's the extent. So on Sunday you're good, by Monday evening you're all tightened back up, And God began to speak to me and say, son, it's time for you to begin to renew your mind. Because if you ain't careful as a Christian, you can start judging yourself by other Christians. You can start thinking, you know, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm doing pretty good. And then Jesus said, they ain't your example. And we sit in this room. I got to go, y'all. But we sit. No, I got to go. I got to let you go. But we sit in this room this morning determined by the way you think. You set the limits on God. God tries to give you a dream and a vision. It comes up out of your spirit. And the first thing you want to talk about is money. What's money got to do with it? But I don't know nobody. God say, yeah, just me. Just me. I know I ain't much to work with, but. And he started telling me, son, it's time for you to get the cap off your thinking and allow those wings in you to start coming out. Man, when you get like this, it don't matter what the doctor say. He can come up and give you 6 weeks to live. And you tell him, say, doc, I appreciate you doing the best you can. Do all you can do. But, doc, you don't understand. I got healing in me. And I don't know how, and I don't know when, and I don't know where. And I don't know if he's going to use you or whether he's just going to heal me by Monday morning. All I know is I will live and not die. That when it's all said and done, I'm going to be healed. You got that kind of faith in you. It sees the invisible. And not only that, you have the inherent stuff in you. You got something in you that's sin proof. No, remember,
Jesus poured it in you. Watch this.
Jesus said, I was in all points tempted like you, yet without sin. He said, I suffered because I wanted to be a compassionate high priest. So I'm touched with the feeling of your infirmity. I went through temptations from the devil. 40 days he tempted me in the wilderness and I didn't yield to him. He said, you got something that's woman proof if you're married. Man proof if you're married. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? He said, you got something in you that while you're walking around in high school and everybody else losing their virginity, you got the power to keep yours. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. He say this will work on any addiction known to mankind. He said, I made sure that I tested it before I gave it to you. Oh, my God. He say, so when I poured it in you, I knew it would work. And then when I poured it in you, I told the devil, I say, give him your best shot. Do what you got to do because no weapon formed against them going to prosper. Because if it didn't work on me, it won't work on him. And that's the way you got to start thinking. If it didn't work on him, it won't work on me. If Jesus conquered it, I can conquer it. If Jesus did it, then I can do it. And so none of that I preached for the last 45 minutes will ever happen to you. If you can't change your mind.
Whatever you're getting it according to the capacity. So let me leave you with this verse. As a man thinketh.
How many are ready to unscrew that cap? I'm about to release an anointing up in here that's going to make your faith go to another level. And you stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Lift your hands. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You might be sitting in this room right now, dealing with sin, addictions, habits. I got good news for you. You don't need nobody to lay hands on you. You don't need no prayer line. All you got to do is let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That you are a child of God and you refuse to be bound by anything. There is not a yoke that can't be destroyed by the nature of God that's on the inside of you. You can be sitting in this room with doubt and fear over something that you know God has called you into, your dream, your vision, your destiny, and Satan is fighting you. And your faith is weak. But I got good news for you. If you speak to that mountain, it'll move. But you got to talk to it. Yeah, yeah. The more you get like Christ, you begin to do silly stuff to the human mind. You begin to like talk to stuff and speak to buildings and money, and you begin to talk. The glory of God is in you. Some of you have so settled. And I felt this when I walked in the room, that one of the anointings that's on Pastor Rich and Tracy is to get you to quit settling. Why are you settling? Man, I'm telling you, God's got a life so glorious. Ooh, and I don't know who this is for in the room, but I'm just going to say it like I just heard it in my spirit. It's possible. Now somebody got to snatch that, because evidently somebody has heard from their spirit and God is causing you to see things like he sees it, and you don't see no way how it's going to come to pass, but I came to tell you it's possible. And if you will just believe, if you get your mind out the way and believe, it's not just possible, it will be probable. Good God. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, this word is so vast, I don't want to limit it. But when I say three, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar for three things. Number one, you're in here and you say, Pastor Petrie, I'm making a dedication to the Lord today, because I realize now ain't none of us where we're supposed to be. Ain't nobody Jesus Jr. yet. But there are some of you in this room that you know you're not even transforming, but you're rather conforming. You're kind of going back to some stuff, or you're just at a stagnant place in your spiritual walk. And you've been asking for something. God, just get me back on course. Give me a fresh anointing. Give me something to give me the passion I used to have, and the prayer life I used to have, and the consecration I used to have. I'm telling you, this morning is your morning. So that's number one, for salvation or rededication. Number two, for people in here that have been struggling with addictions or any type of bondage in your life. I don't have to know it. I'm not going to ask you. It's nobody's business. But I am going to release the anointing to destroy that thing.
And then you're going to fortify your mind that when it comes back, you're going to tell the devil, oh, no, no. You can't put no old wine in a new skin. It just won't work. I am not like that. I don't think like that. I'm not going for that anymore. And number three, for people that have dreams, that have visions and destinies, and you've seen it, you saw snapshots of it. Y'all, you don't understand. I'm from Hooks, Texas. Does anybody know where Hooks, Texas is? It ain't Texarkana, it's Hooks. Texarkana is the big name for it, you know. I migrated to Texarkana because I couldn't tell people I was from Hooks. You know, 2,000 people in the whole town, one stoplight. You understand? Hooks. I'm talking about country. So far deep in the woods that we had to pump in sunshine. You understand? You know, I'm talking about deep in the woods. And I remember in 1980, 89, 90, 91, I would sit on my couch and pray, and I would see myself preaching all over the world. Now, I hadn't left Hooks, but I'd see it. I saw my destiny. I saw myself. And some of the times I'll stand in a church or at a conference, or I'll be sitting somewhere, and it'll come back to me, a deja vu moment. I was like, I've been here before. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you're gonna know it. The only thing required to get you to your dreams is faith. And you got the faith of God in you. And you're going to unscrew your mind and start thinking of unlimited possibilities. If you're in those three categories, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I'm going to ask you to put a right foot in front of a left one and come on down here in front of me. It'd be my honor and privilege to pray with you.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.